Johnson.
Yes.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's awesome to be here in Kawartha Lake. It's only once a month, but it's always encouraging and energizing for me to come here. I love the song service today. You did a beautiful job. Eric was wonderfully expressive as a song leader. I don't remember seeing that before, and so it just struck me today. It's always a treat to have George here because he has such a beautiful voice. And because he sings loud, then everyone else can sing louder too, because we have the background music for it. It was beautiful also. Okay, I think everyone has a handout. The title of today's message is Remembering, God's Remembering and Forgetting. And the context of this message has to do with a memorial service we had for one of our church members in Ottawa who died. So again, it wasn't meant to be part of the memorial service. This was a message that kind of tied into that. And as we go through it, I think you'll see why. Remembering can be defined as to recall or bring back to mind. I think everyone here knows what remembering is, but I give definitions anyway. To recall or bring back to mind. To have or keep an image, idea, or memory of something or someone from the past in one's consciousness. So a few of the examples that I use at the beginning of the message have to do with Ernie Marion. He's a member in a wheelchair in Ottawa that had recently died. And the example I give is I remember Ernie's warm smile. And again, if you knew Ernie, and again, I have a picture I was showing before services that just has his face. And again, normally he has a smile on his face anyway, but when he smiles, his face just animates. It becomes rounder. A smile isn't done just with your lips. A smile can engage your whole face and even sometimes your whole body. So it's a joy when we come to services and you see his face light up and a big smile. And the other thing that reminds me of his smile when he smiles and his face becomes all round is in Walmart they have that little round smiley face, and that reminded me of Ernie's smile also. So remembering can be recalling or bringing back to mind something. It can mean to retain in memory, so to keep information, facts, or experiences stored in one's mind. And I give an example. Another thing that remembering is to not forget. To keep something in mind is something to be done or considered. And example, now remember everybody to bring nice goodies for the Sabbath, so we have a good experience after church. An extended meaning of remembering is to commemorate or honor, to hold a memorial or observance, to keep alive the memory of someone or something. And I give an example where we say, we gather to remember Ernie, who died while in faithful service to the church, in worship leading, greeting visitors, and poring over scriptures to create thoughtful Bible quizzes each week. In the case of Ernie, I think it goes back to 2018 when he started creating Bible quizzes, and each one would have at least 10 questions in it that would be referencing at least 10 scriptures, and Ernie wasn't a computer guy. He would write them all out by hand, and then his wife would type them in, and they'd be put on Slack so that people could do these Bible quizzes to help, again, to remember Scripture. Today, we'll seek to gain insight about God and about ourselves by exploring what God chooses to remember and forget. It's interesting that Scripture talks about several examples of, you know, God choosing to remember or God choosing to forget something. Also, we'll cover what we will say as members of the church, as followers of Jesus Christ, what we are encouraged in Scripture to remember and forget. And again, if you wanted to flip this page over and write down, what are things that God wants to remember and forget? What are things that we're supposed to remember and forget? It might be a neat exercise. But we're going to continue with the message now, and so you won't be able to do it afterwards because you'll have heard the answer. And last, in honor of Ernie's memorial, here are some things that we might choose to remember as we consider a brother in the faith who has died. So, three parts to this message. The bottom part of the page lists the doctrines of the church. And interestingly, some sermons I only highlight, you know, one or two words. This sermon, I think there's like 13 things that are highlighted. It's a message that will touch on many of the different teachings of the church. To begin, in the Bible, the concept of God remembering and forgetting does not refer to a slip of human memory or amnesia. We understand God is an omniscient, all-knowing being. What does that mean? Well, let's use some scriptures. In 1 John 3:20, it says, "For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything." So the idea of, you know, does God really remember and forget things? Or does he know everything? God is omniscient. He knows all things. Psalm 147, verse 5, "His understanding is beyond measure." And Psalm 139, "Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it." That's pretty impressive. I haven't even said the word. The thought's still percolating back here before I even say it, and God knows what we're going to say. These terms, remembering and forgetting, then, are describing our relationship with God and his justice. When God remembers, he acts on a previous promise or takes note of a condition. When God forgets, he chooses to no longer hold an action against someone or he legally strikes it from the record. In Scripture, here are some of the categories of things that God remembers. First, his covenant and promises. And we're all happy for that because we need God to be a God that keeps his word, that keeps his promises, and that makes covenants with mankind. This is the most frequent use of remember regarding God. It signifies him actively fulfilling a pledge he made to humanity. I use a couple of examples of covenants. If we check the first page, covenants is actually one of the things that was highlighted. And there are several covenants that are listed. So again, it's on this part of the document where it lists different covenants. I didn't highlight each one individually, but we'll cover two of them here. The first being the Abrahamic or the Mosaic covenants. We'll use the scripture at Exodus 2, verse 24, where it says, "God heard their groaning," Exodus 2, so this is about the book of Exodus. Israel is in Egypt, and the people are groaning out to God. It says, "God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob." So again, is it a case that God forgot about it? Nope. But he's choosing this time to act on it. And so the reference in Scripture is that God remembered. With the covenant with Noah, in Genesis 9, verse 15, it says, "I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh. The waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh." So here we have God making a promise to Noah and to all mankind. And if we were to read on further, we'd know that the rainbow is a sign of that covenant. And so God has promised that he's not going to destroy all mankind again, and certainly not do it by a flood. A second category of things that God remembers is specific individuals in distress or prayer. And so we can think of ourselves. When something rough has happened, when something terrible has happened, when we're in trouble, we want to reach out to God and call upon the promises that he's made to us. The examples that I list are people who are isolated. In Genesis 8, verse 1, it said again, God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. So when people are isolated, and again, we have church members that, live up in, Timmins and, that are not able to fellowship with people regularly. So we have some technology that helps, things like, Zoom and the telephone and things, but it's not the same as being able to sit down with someone and, share a meal together. And so when people are isolated, they're often very lonely. And God remembers those people, and God takes special care of them. Another example is the childless. Here we have a couple of examples. Genesis 30, verse 22, it says, then God remembered Rachel. So again, she was without child. It says God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb. We also have the example of Hannah in 1 Samuel. So Samuel's mother, who, again, was barren, and she promised. She prayed and promised. And again, the priest came in, saw her. She thought that she was drunk, was upset with her, and she was saying, no, it's not that way. And she prayed to God that if you give me a son, I'll dedicate him to your service. And that's what happened in 1 Samuel. We hear the story of how God remembered Rachel, and he remembered the mother of Samuel, Hannah. Another example of specific individuals in distress or prayer is the righteous in judgment. In Genesis 19, verse 29, it says, and it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plains that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. So in the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, God remembered. And again, doesn't mean that he had forgotten about what was going on. He's aware of it. But when it says God remembers, it means God was ready to take action. Another example of categories of things that God remembers is human frailty and limitation. Sometimes when you stand up and you look in the mirror and you think, I can conquer the world. I can do it all myself. You very quickly realize that we're human. We're frail. We're made of dust. And again, it says God remembers the weakness of human design and he shows us mercy. The first example here, our origin, from Psalm 103, verse 14. He knows our frame. He remembers that we're just dust. Fourth category of things God remembers. Good works and faithfulness. God retains a record of service, charity, and love shown by his followers. I think I'll put on some glasses. The lighting here is beautiful, but my eyesight isn't what it used to be, and I remember coming here, it might have been last time, And I was stumbling over some of the words, and it was because I couldn't really read them. And I'm thinking, this group's going to think Jim's losing it. Okay, little picture on the side. What does it mean to do good works? And again, from the picture here, we see the Good Samaritan. That, a priest passes by on the other side, and a Levite passes by on the other side, but the Good Samaritan is someone that stopped. And again, I think I talked one or two messages ago about the idea of the Good Samaritan because we use that as a term of, that person's a good Samaritan. And, back then, the Samaritans were despised. They were people that were brought in occupying Israel. And so the good Samaritan is like saying the good, dirty, rotten foreigner. And so today we use it as a positive term. That guy's a good Samaritan. Back then, being a Samaritan was a horrible thing. And so a good one was unheard of. So good works and faithfulness. God retains this record of service. And one of those records has to do with acts of love. Hebrews 6:10 says, "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name." So again, when you go above and beyond and do something to try to help people in the church or even just people that you come in contact with, God remembers that. He takes note of it. Prayers and alms. In Acts 10, we have the example of a soldier, Cornelius. And in verse 4, it says, "About Cornelius, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God." And as we're all sitting here, wouldn't it be amazing for an angel to tell us, your prayers and your gifts of service have come up before God as a memorial? It would be a pretty amazing thing. We know that God sees all things and knows all things. And so he takes note. The point here is that God remembers our good works and faithfulness. But it's something special to have an angel make comments on that. Another thing that God remembers, number 5, this one's a negative, but God remembers unrepentant sins and injustice. For those who reject him or oppress others, God remembers their actions for judgment. And this breaks down into group wickedness. Regarding Babylon the Great, we have Revelation 18, verse 5 says, "For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities." So this is a whole society, a whole, not just one country, but a whole grouping of countries that become this Babylon the Great. And God remembers their sins, their lawlessness. So it applies to the group, and it also applies to individual rebellion. In Hosea 9, verse 9, it says, "They have deeply corrupted themselves. He will remember their iniquity. He will punish their sins." And so one of the things that we as a society benefit from is the idea that God sees everything. And every once in a while, people will change their behavior. The example that often comes to mind is where people, there are boys that won't get into trouble because my mom will kill me if I get involved with this. Sometimes people understand, because again, if there's no policeman standing by, people will often do things that might not be legal because they know they're not going to get caught. But those with a conscience and a knowledge of God realize everything I do is going to be judged. Everything that I do, God sees. And so even though you really might want to put that chocolate bar in your pocket when you're at the store, you realize I'm going to put it in the cart and pay for it on the way out. So to move on, that's what God remembers. What are some of the things that God forgets? As we explore our knowledge of God, what Scripture tells us about God. Scripture highlights that when God forgives, he legally chooses to never bring up or act upon specific things again. First example, the sins of the forgiven. Under the new covenant, the defining characteristic of God's forgiveness is a deliberate striking of past transgressions from his active record. The new covenant promise, it's talked about in Hebrews 8, also in Jeremiah 31, it reads, For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. So God chooses, as part of his new covenant, to forget these sins that we've repented of. And in Isaiah 43, verse 25, it says, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. So, that's one category of things that God forgets. What else? Number two, past righteousness if a person turns to wickedness. Scripture notes that if a righteous person turns completely away into unrepentant sin, their past good deeds are no longer counted or remembered in their favor. So if you remember your ancient Egyptian, their idea of death and judgment is that when you die, you meet up with the judge and they are going to put in the balances. Here's the good stuff you did, and here's the bad stuff you did. God's not like that. If you turn from God at the end, even if you lived a wonderful life and did lots of good things, but if you reject God at the end, all of that is wiped out. So there is no balance of what the good stuff versus the bad stuff in God's judgment. So, an example of this, again, turning away, Ezekiel 18, verse 24, it says, But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, all the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered. So that's a concept that we need to take to heart. Another thing God forgets, the former things of the old earth. In the final renewal of creation, the sorrows, sins, and pain associated with the old order of the world will be completely erased from our memory. Isaiah 65, 17 talks about the new creation where it says, For behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. And again, we have the picture in the bottom corner of the lion and the lamb, giving us something to look forward to. Another category of things for us to remember. So now we're moving away from things that God remembers and things that God forgets. What are some things for us to remember and forget? In the Torah, Jewish tradition has especially identified six foundational remembrances. And there's even a Hebrew name for them called the six remembrances that are to be recalled continually. I think they're even part of daily prayers that they have. These are derived from explicit commands in the Torah. So the six things that are identified in the Torah where we're commanded to remember. Remember the Exodus from Egypt. What is to be remembered? God's deliverance from slavery. And why does God want us to spend time remembering that? It teaches us about gratitude and faith and redemption, obedience. I'll just grab an extra handout here.
No problem.
So, one of the six things is to remember the Exodus from Egypt, and the second thing that we're to remember, so again, Hebrews talks about how we're to learn, Hebrews 11, where we have the story of the faithful. And it says, the reason that you're given this is so that you can learn from the lessons of what the Israelites did. So we're to remember the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. There's a scripture reference there. What's to be remembered? The covenant and God's revelation. And why do we want to remember that? Faithfulness to God's commandments and teaching future generations. So again, it's good if you can apply that to your life. But that doesn't necessarily help the next generation. And so many of the problems that we are suffering today have to do with people not taking time to teach it to their children. And, south of the border, for example, they're having a lot of issues with socialism where kids today are thinking, free stuff, this is great, you know, bring on all the socialism we can have, where every example of socialism being applied on planet Earth has resulted in, you know, poverty and death and a totalitarian government taking over. And so, you know, it's good for a little while. And it's good if you're young and don't really have the knowledge, but if it's taught properly, then children or students today would understand that there are so many problems with that. So as parents, we need to remember and to teach it to our children. A third item, remember what Amalek did. The story of that's in Deuteronomy 25, and it talks about, so what's to be remembered, Amalek's attack on the weak during Israel's journey. So again, Israel was passing through the land. Amalek didn't decide to attack the front of the people. He went to the back and was attacking the women and children. And God found that disgraceful and despicable and instructed the children of Israel to remember that. And why do we remember it? Because of God's sense of justice and vigilance against evil. Fourth thing we're to remember is remember the sin of the golden calf, Israel's rebellion. Again, it's talked about in Deuteronomy 9. What's to be remembered? Israel's repeated rebellion in the wilderness. And why does God want us to remember that? Because we learn about humility and repentance and dependence on God's mercy. A fifth thing to remember, remember what God did to Miriam. This is This is Moses' sister, Miriam. And again, Moses and Aaron and Miriam were kind of a leadership group. But at one point, Aaron and Miriam got the idea that, you know, maybe we're all equally, you know, in charge. And Moses, you're taking too much on yourself. And so she spoke against Moses, what he was doing. And that's what's to be remembered, Miriam's punishment for speaking against Moses. And the primary lesson is that we need to guard our tongue and respect God's authority. You know, God is on his throne and he chooses who he wants to be leading. And in the case of Israel at that time, Moses was the guy. The sixth thing in these six remembrances is to remember the Sabbath day. Exodus 20 is the reference for that. And what's to be remembered? The seventh day Sabbath established at creation. We're to remember that. And the primary lesson is that the Sabbath gives us an opportunity for worship and rest and acknowledging God as our creator. One of the things I do for the Ottawa group is I send out a note every Friday evening. And last night when I was sending out a note, I was thinking, you know, we probably need to give people a reminder of, you know, why it's good to come out for the Sabbath. I'm going to be in Kawartha Lakes this week, but, you know, David and Margaret are going to be there. David Townsend has prepared a message, and sometimes not as many people come out. And so I was thinking it would be good to have a scripture for that. And I happened to find Psalm 92. I'll just go ahead and read it here. Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2, especially, an encouragement about the Sabbath. And it was interesting because they don't identify in Scripture who wrote this one. So people speculate, of course. There are some psalms where it says, you know, this is a psalm of David, so we know exactly who the author was. This one, there is no author identified. And so people speculate about who the psalmist was. And some think, yeah, this is another Psalm of David. And others say, No, this was a psalm of Adam at creation, where he talks these words. So Psalm 92, verse 1, it says, a psalm, a song for the Sabbath day. It says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every evening. And it goes on and talks about on instruments of string and the lute and the harp. And again, I'm reminded of the song service today was wonderful. And it was our opportunity, as it says here, it's good to give thanks. So giving thanks is something we should be doing here on the Sabbath. And to declare God's loving kindness. So I thought that was a neat thing to encounter, and I put that in my note that I sent to the people in Ottawa today. So I asked the question, why these six? So why are these so important to remember? These six cover the major pillars of Israel's covenant relationship. So again, we have the six in the remembrance side, but the focus is redemption, revelation and covenant, God's enemies and justice, human sin and God's mercy, holiness in speech and conduct, and creation and sanctification. Together, they remind Israel who God is, what he has done, how he expects his people to live, the consequences of rebellion, and the importance of covenant faithfulness. So those are things that we should remember. What are some examples of things that we should be forgetting? Scripture highlights things we must choose to forget and things we are warned to never forget. First, what we should actively forget. The Bible instructs us to let go of certain elements of our past so that we can fully walk into what God has planned for us. Past mistakes and prior achievements. Paul emphasized that focusing on the past hinders future progress. In Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14, Paul says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I'm not sure if I've made it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. So again, what Paul is saying there, again, when he's saying, you know, when we talk about forgetting the past, it doesn't mean, you know, we have to forget everything and every achievement. I remember in one of my sermons, I brought my grade 11 soccer trophy, most valuable player. And again, it's okay to do things and be proud of accomplishments. But don't dwell on that stuff. Don't live your life looking behind. What Paul is saying here is, don't remember the former things, but forgetting those things which are behind, I press towards the goal of the prize of the upward call. So what we should forget is, don't dwell on some of those past things. Another example, old seasons and hardships. God promises his people to look forward rather than dwelling on former desolations. In Isaiah 43, it says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So again, you know, God wants us looking forward, and he has incentives out there for us to reach for. And again, when we're talking about forgetting, the idea of, you know, that might come to mind is you know, those that don't remember history are, you know, going to repeat it. And so it's not talking about forgetting, you know, things totally. We're to learn lessons from the past in our going forward. It's talking mostly about that concept of, don't dwell on this stuff and live your life looking backwards. Live your life going forward and achieving for God. A second thing, what we must never forget, a significant portion of Scripture warns against spiritual amnesia, forgetting God's character, his laws, or his provisions. And again, it's easy to have spiritual amnesia. Some people, for example, pray that God will, bless them financially. And that's not a bad thing necessarily to ask for, but some people can't handle that. God might have a windfall of money fall upon someone, and all of a sudden, they're not here for services anymore. They spend most of the time in Florida, and they've got a million other things they can be doing with all this money that they have. And so they forget God because they no longer have the relationship and the dependence on God. So we need to be careful what we ask for. God's blessings and benefits. Believers are explicitly commanded to keep God's kindness at the forefront of their minds. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Again, that's one of the hymns we have in our hymnal. And I think I made sure that we sang that one last time. God's word and identity, the forgetful hearer. James warns against looking into Scripture and immediately failing to apply it. In James 1, 23 and 24, it says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." There's times when the Holy Spirit is going to bring truth to you, and you can act on that truth, do something immediately, or you can kind of set aside, or you can even try to suppress it. Ooh, I don't want to follow that, so I'm going to put that out of my mind right away. God doesn't want that. God wants us to make sure that if he's reaching out to us with his Holy Spirit, that we're going to drink in that knowledge and act upon it. And that's what James is admonishing us to here. Doing good and sharing. The author of Hebrews reminds believers that active ministry is a form of worship. Hebrews 13:16. "But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." And again, we might have the example of someone that is blessed, someone here. Each of us here has the option to potentially do good or to not do anything. So, sometimes the example comes up of, what about that beggar that is panhandling money? Am I obligated to give them money? I remember, many, many years ago, there was somebody that was saying, I just need, another $10 and I'll be able to buy my train ticket to be able to get home. And I was just out on the street, I was heading to go to see a movie, and they looked sincere, and so I gave them the money, and sure enough, when I was sitting down at the theater, they were sitting a few rows over. And again, when that happens, it can embitter you so that you don't have a heart of flesh anymore. You just have a stony heart, and I'm not going to ever let anybody trick me like that again. I'm never going to give anything to the poor. And again, that was a con person. That wasn't someone who had genuine need. And so we need to assess, if someone has a genuine need and you're able to help, that can be a good thing. A third category talks about what God assures us he will not forget. God's dedication to his people is absolute. God's not going to forget his people. Even when human relationships fail, God promises an unbreakable bond. Isaiah 49, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb?" There are some women here that are mothers, have had babies, and this is saying, can a woman ever forget, a baby that she's had? It's a natural thing for a woman to love her child and to want to give everything she can. What's the example here in Isaiah 49? Can a woman forget her nursing child? And it goes on and says, "Surely they may forget, Yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. So God considers each one of us precious. And his promise, comparing it to the love of a mother for her child, he's saying it's even greater than that. So God assures us he's not going to forget his people. Next, he talks about your labor and love. God notices and records the acts of service done in his name. In Hebrews 6:10, it says, "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, that you have ministered to saints and do minister." So it's nice to know that when we do something nice, God takes note of it. So we've covered now what God remembers, what God forgets, what we're to remember, and what we're to forget. And the last part of the message is just to talk about when we have somebody, perhaps someone in the church that we love, that has died, what are some things that we might want to have come to our minds? So the first thing I list is we should remember that they sleep in Jesus. It's a temporary state. In Thessalonians 4:14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring him with him those who sleep in Jesus." The dead in Christ are described as sleeping, a temporary rest from which they will awaken at Christ's return. So it's a big comforting thought that their state of being dead is not a permanent thing. That's a temporary thing. We understand that. Second, they are blessed and rest from their labors. Revelation 14:13. "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, 'Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. From now on, yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them.'" So those who die in the Lord are blessed, at rest, and their faithful works endure. A third thing we can remember, they will be resurrected. 1 Corinthians 15, "For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." So death is not the end. There is a resurrection coming for those who are Christ's. Number four, that they are absent from the body and present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8, "We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." For believers, death means our next conscious thought will be present with the Lord at the resurrection when Jesus returns. A fifth thing we can remember when a loved one, someone who is a brother, has died. To die is gain for the believer. Philippians 1:21, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Death is not defeat, but gain for those in Christ, a transition to something far better in the kingdom of God." A sixth thing for us to remember, they are dead in Christ, part of God's redeemed people. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." The dead are identified as being in Christ and are united with him first at his return. So when Christ returns, the dead in Christ are first. We who are alive and remain will then be caught up to be with them together. Point seven, about things we're to remember when a loved one dies. Death is the common destiny of all. A sober reminder. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 2. "Better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart." Remembering the dead reminds us that death comes to all, and the living should take this to heart. I sometimes talk of the example of the person, the Christian, that becomes really bitter because, their 97-year-old spouse died, and they're mad at God. "Why did you have that happen, God?" Well, death happens to everyone. It's going to happen. God isn't out to get you, and you shouldn't be blaming God for that. What we need to understand, the sober reminder, is that death comes to all, and the living need to take that to heart. And the last point, things to remember when someone, a brother, dies. Their works follow them. Revelation 14:13 says their works follow them. What the deceased did in faith continues to bear fruit and is remembered by God. So again, I try to put important things in a box, and we end the message today with a box that says, Scripture calls upon us to remember those things, remember those who have died in Christ, and realize that they are at rest, they're not suffering, they're with the Lord, they're not abandoned, they're awaiting resurrection, they're not permanently gone, they're blessed, not cursed, and remembered by God, their works following them.